A lesson this evening from Luke chapter 1. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a certain priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife was from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and righteous decrees of the Lord. They did not have a child because Elizabeth was unable to bear children, and they were both well along in years. On one occasion, while Zechariah was serving as priest before God and his division was on duty, he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. The whole crowd of people were praying outside the temple during the hour of the incense offering. An angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and overcome by fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, because your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son for you, and you are to name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, because he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to drink wine or beer. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. He will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. He will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, to turn the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to prepare a people who are ready for the Lord." Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure of this? Because I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you in order to tell you this good news. Now listen, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things happen, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled at the proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering what was taking him so long in the temple. When he did come out, he was unable to speak to them. Then they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. He kept making signs to them and remained unable to speak. When the days of his priestly service were completed, he went back to his home. After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. She kept herself in seclusion for 5 months, saying, "The Lord has done this for me in the days when he looked with favor on me and took away my disgrace among the people." The word of our Lord. Friends in Christ, grace and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not sure how familiar you are with all of the Christmas classics, or if you were one of those 15 people who checked out the book The Grinch so that I couldn't get to it at the library and read it. That's okay, I had the Word of God. Why is that so popular? That the Grinch, this evil soul with a downsized heart, wants to take away the things that are supposed to give joy and mirth at a time like Christmas. Wants to spoil everyone's holiday fun. Is that the problem that people think we face today? That people just aren't celebrating Christmas enough? That people aren't getting ready to have joyous times, to spend their time with people they love, or at least to get a little something like a bonus or a gift or something that might give joy, even if it's just the movie they like to watch every year? Is our fear that someone's going to take that away from us just because it's a evil old soul with a downsized heart. I think sometimes we need to reframe the morals of the tale of what Christmas is supposed to be. For society around us, as we have opportunity for our friends and neighbors who may not really know a lot about the gospel, but even for ourselves, as all these things that are supposed to bring joy and mirth and happiness, more often than not, are actually the things that get in the way of our takeaway at Christmas. Here's your takeaway. It's something that might sound a little grinchy. God wants you to take from Christmas. This is a season for the taking. God wants to fill your faith by giving you things to take. And I'm going to show you how every Wednesday night. And you might find out it doesn't have as much to do with the Grinch as you might have thought. But it does have to do with the things that truly give lasting joy and mirth and peace. And tonight, we're going to see how important it is to take God at His word. Maybe the closest person to a Grinch at Christmas that I can think of this time of year, at least in Advent, would be Zechariah. If some would say King Herod, well, he doesn't really get a redemption story at the end. I kind of like Zechariah. This was a chance in a lifetime that we just read about in Luke chapter 1. This is how the Gospels begin. Sure, John goes back to the beginning of time and reiterates some things and affirms for us that Jesus was the Son of God there at creation. Long before there was anything created, he was there with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And Matthew traces out the genealogy, but you might say that the lessons of Advent and Christmas really start here with Zechariah, with his chance in a lifetime. Josephus, a historian from the time, estimates that there was about 20,000 Levitical priests at the time. So your chance for the lot to be cast as a priest and be one of these four who would serve from your division or from your order, and there were 24 of them, you'd serve for a week, it was pretty scarce. But it was fair, because the lot was cast, and even though that wasn't in all the Levitical laws, it was a good system. And there Zechariah was. He got to be the third priest, the third one to go into the temple. Not a lot of people get to go too far into the temple. In that room where there's the showbread, the 12 loaves of bread, one for each tribe, and that great candlestick, there was also an altar of incense. And this was Zechariah's job. He went in there with two other men. The first two would do their duties and worshipfully leave. The first one would clean off the coals from the day before. The second one would lay new coals for incense, and they would reverently step out backwards, leaving this priest, this third priest, Zechariah, to actually light the incense. What a great honor. But as the people waited to see that incense, that smoke rise as a representation of their prayers going up into heaven for God to hear them as a mediating sacrifice for the people, it got a little long. They began to wonder what happened. And as the people tended to do back in those days, if it got a little long, they might wonder, did he go too far? Did he look at the Holy of Holies? Did he get a glimpse of God that he wasn't supposed to see? And because he was a sinner, fall over dead? But that wasn't the case. This time, an angel had appeared to Zechariah. This time, something miraculous happened. It was Gabriel, an angel of the Lord, that struck him and startled Zechariah. And understandably so. After all, it is because of sin that it's difficult for a human being like you and I to stand in the presence of an angel who, as Gabriel notes, gets to stand in the presence of God. Something very serious was happening. And some very serious things were about to happen. The angel says that Zechariah's prayer has been heard. Everything he'd hoped for had been answered. I kind of like to think when Gabriel says that, he's talking about their prayer for a child. Now, some people might disagree with that. Because after all, as a priest, he wasn't in there to offer prayers for himself. He was there to offer prayers asking for the coming of the Messiah. And they would have regularly prayed prayers like that leading up to it. And it was certainly on everyone's minds. That's what everyone was awaiting, the coming Christ. And as an old man with his wife well along in years, Zechariah and Elizabeth probably weren't praying that prayer for a child anymore. That had probably run its course. And yet I still like to think that this is God answering their prayers from long ago, when they first asked for a child, when they probably assumed God was saying, I'm going to say no on this one, and you're going to love me all the same, because I'm still a God of grace and mercy, and I will still give you joy. But that, as it turns out, it would be an answer that came far later, in the future, in their old age. Now, as a priest, Zechariah should have known his scriptures, should have known not to doubt, should have known not to be too grinchy about this moment. If he knew anything about the scriptures, he knew about Father Abraham and how he and Sarah were promised a child in their old age and how that came to fruition and came to become a whole nation of peoples and a nation through whom all other nations would be blessed. But his response was less than laudable, with a prayer that was basically the message of an unnatural childbirth. Zechariah decides to say, well, I'm not really sure that's going to happen. After all, we're pretty old. He says, how can I be sure of this? He's asking for a sign, because I'm old and my wife is well along in years. Now, notice what's grinchy about this. It's not that he was taking something. It's the fact that God was holding out something for him to take, and he refused it. What's grinchy is that his sinful nature caused Zechariah to doubt. I don't think we have to believe that Zechariah was an unbeliever. He believed generally in the coming Messiah. We're told they're very faithful. They're actually called righteous, and they followed God's decrees. They weren't blatant in their walk with God, in their sin. And yet, in this special promise, Zechariah did doubt. And I think that's what's especially grinchy, whether you're Zechariah or any believer, is when God seeks to give messages, when God seeks to meet us with his means of grace, when God comes to us in his word and sacrament, that all too often we're not ready to take it. We're ready to leave that to God. We're not willing to dig into our scriptures for personal devotions or family devotions. We're not willing to take every opportunity there is to hear what God has to say. And I think that's really a bigger problem than taking. Because when it comes to God's means of grace, he wants us to take him at his word. This isn't just wordplay. We're not being sarcastic. God literally wants us to take the words he has and put them to our hearts and trust in them. He wants us to hold on to the promise of the Messiah and put our faith in it. It's the same thing Zechariah held on to, except he hadn't seen all the stories. How much more you and I, as members of the priesthood of all believers, who have all the details of the lessons of the gospel, how much more shouldn't we take and take and take and take from what God has to give us in his word? We're so eager to hear other words out there. How many of you, when you saw an advertisement for a doorbuster sale, you believed it and you wanted to find out about it? 50% off, 60% off, 75% off. Ridiculous deals out there on Black Friday and Cyber Monday. How many of you didn't believe that deal was really true and navigated to that website or actually physically went to that store? Maybe some of you Grinches actually fought over some presents in the store. I saw a video that that's still happening, and maybe that will never go away. And yet, how slow of heart we are when it comes to the words God wants us to take. When the world out here has so many words for us to trust and suggest that those are the things that are going to give us joy and mirth at this time of year, how much more the words of God that are here to fill our hearts, to convict us of our sin, but to promise us that in that hole of our hearts, that crushed, contrite understanding that we're sinners and we don't deserve to stand before God's holy angels, let alone Him, He wishes to place a word of His gospel again and again and again so that you can take and take and take it. Now, this is some pretty great news for Zechariah personally. He was going to have a son. It was going to give him joy and it was going to fulfill his prayers. But there's a lot more here. We read that it was going to be the joy of all of the people to have this coming son. His name was going to be John, a word that refers to God's grace, a Hebrew word that meant God would be gracious to them. And he was going to come and he was going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He was going to take this lifelong vow to be a Nazarite. And unlike Samson, we get no glimpse of John the Baptist forsaking that vow. He would preach to the people going before the Messiah, Jesus Christ. He would turn their hearts. He would turn the hearts of the children to the fathers, which seems to mean that those with childlike faith would trust in what he had to say. But eventually, also people who had been waiting would really come to see that, yes, this was the one like Elijah who would come and pave the way for the Messiah and change our hearts and cause us to repent and look for a greater one to come. Yeah, there was a whole lot of promise, a whole lot of things bundled into the words of Gabriel at this special time. And they would take God at His word, and they would believe, not doubt. That's pretty important. There are a lot of preachers out there who have forsaken God's word and doubted. They've chosen to preach civic righteousness, which, as some of us have been talking about on Wednesday evening studies, just how to do good outwardly and be a good citizen. They would teach sensationalism before they would really teach the word of God. They would seek to be celebrities and preach to the people their own self-importance and how to be socially good. But this man, John the Baptist, would deliver the word of the Lord. And it would get pretty harsh. And yet the people would take it to heart. Not like Zechariah on this particular day, but like Mary. When she heard the word of the Lord, she told the angel, "May it be to me as you have said." Or like Father Abraham, who laughed when he was told that he would have a child. Not like his wife, he laughed with joy, not with doubt. Abraham believed God, and he credited it to him as righteousness. This was Zechariah. He would not be allowed to talk for 9 months. He'd have time to think about taking God at his word. You don't have to worry about that kind of chastisement very often, that you'd be struck dumb for 9 months because you didn't listen to the word of God. But think about it. This season of Advent, prepare your hearts from the grinchy attitude of not taking God at his word. And trust that when you have failed, when you have missed those opportunities to hear God, when you realized you didn't take it to heart, there's forgiveness for that too. That's why the coming Messiah would be placed on a cross and raised up for all to see, so that people like you, sinners, and people like me, could look up at that cross and trust and know without a shadow of a doubt that we can take and take and take and take, taking God at his word. Amen.